This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Hey, thank you. What's going on, guys? How's everyone? So, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the Stop Hashtag Stop Asian Hate Movement. Is the Stop Asian Hate Movement is the name of seven Asian anti-Asian violence rallies that have been held across the United States in 2021 in response to racism against Asian Americans. Many of these rallies occurred in the wake of a series of shootings, three Atlanta spas that killed eight people, six of them who were Asian women. Before I start talking about that, I have some announcements. Yeah, so if you want to listen to my podcast, you can go to Apple. Hold on. Listen to my podcast, you can go to Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music, Amazon, Stitcher, alright, and also if you want to listen to my podcast for free, you can also go to New York Podcast. You can also go to newyorkpodcast.com. You can follow me on my Instagram, BlackKage840. If you follow me on Instagram at BlackKage840, you'll find my Facebook page, my Twitch page, and my Twitter page. Now, before we get started with the Asian hate, I just want to say, with the Stop Asian Hate Movement, I just want to say that Derek Chauvin, I understand that he has been convicted of all charges. I'm not going to speak completely on that situation until I see once he gets to the sentence. Once he gets to sentencing. So, let's get started on today's episode. The COVID-19 pandemic, which was first reported in the city of Wuhan, Hubei, China, has led to an increased amount of racism against Asians and Asian Americans. A Pew Research study guys found that 58% of Asian Americans believe that racist views had increased towards them during the pandemic. On March 16, 2021, a series of mass shootings occurred at three spas in the Atlanta metropolitan area. Although the shooter has not been charged with a hate crime, some commentators have characterized it as such, as of the eight people killed, six were Asian women. Atlanta spa shootings. On March 16, 2021, a series of mass shootings occurred at three spas of massage parlors in the metropolitan area of Atlantic, Georgia. United States, eight people were killed, six of them who were Asian women, and one other person was wounded. A suspect, 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long, was taken into custody later that day. According to police, Long said he was motivated by a sexual addiction that was at odds with his religious beliefs. He has previously spent time in the evidential treatment clinic for sex addiction. After the shootings, Long was charged with four counts of murder in Atlanta and four counts of murder and one count of aggravated assault in Cherokee County. Although Long has not been charged with a hate crime as part of the ongoing investigation, some commentators have characterized the shootings as a hate crime, noting the backdrop of rising Asian sentiment in the United States during the COVID-19 pandemic. Following the shootings, mass protests against anti-Asian violence have occurred in the cities across the U.S. and the world. The suspect Robert Aaron Long legally purchased a 9mm handgun at Big Words Goods, a firearms store in the Endung Gun Range in Holly Springs, hours before the shooting. Like most states, Georgia does not have a waiting period to buy a gun. Surveillance footage show him arriving at Young Asian Massage, a massage parlor near Ackworth, and sitting for an hour in the parking lot. He then entered the building at 3:38 p.m. and remained inside for a period of 1 hour and 12 minutes. Police did not elaborate on what Long was doing during this time. Another customer who went into Young that day said in an interview that everything was still normal inside when he arrived around 4:40 p.m. Long's left Young's at 4:50 p.m. Shots were fired at some point after. A customer who survived a gunshot wound said the government walked into Young's and began firing. The customer threw himself to the floor and begged the government not to shoot him. The gunman demanded him to look up at him, and when the customer complied, he was shot in the face. The first 911 calls reporting the shooting in the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office was made at 4:54 p.m. Police arrived within minutes of Long leaving. Then they find two people fatally shot and three others wounded in different rooms down the hallway. Two of the women later died at a hospital. Police found a male customer whose wife and fellow customer was fatally shot, sitting on a bed in another room, scared and confused, and detained him for 4 hours. Piedmont Road shootings. At 5:47 p.m., the response of a report of robbery at Gold Massage Bar. Piedmont Road in Atlanta, about 30 miles from the first shooting scene. They found three women dead from gunshot wounds. While Atlanta police were at the Gold Spa, they received reports of another shooting across the street in Amber Pernisua when they discovered another woman shot and killed. Two Gold Machines who survived the shooting reporting hearing ticking sounds were in the bank room, which turned out to be gunfire. They hid in the lounge using items to take cover and were shot and were not injured. According to them, the gunman did not speak or make any sounds during the shooting. He looked both in the front and the back of the stores at some point. According to a report, National Korean newspaper, the Shusen Zoo, the Gold Massage Spa employee who escaped the store during the shooting said that the shooter said, "I'm going to kill all Asians." According to the eyewitness, the attacker shot the worker who opened the Acropathy Spa for them and fled without entering the interior. According to APD, they noticed the similarities between the Piedmont Road and the Cherokee County shootings and subsequently dispatched officers to patrol similar businesses in the area. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was called to assist in the investigation. After the first shooting, Cherokee County Police released surveillance footage with contact by Long's parents. While there would be an interview, the APD was responding to the second and third shootings in Atlanta. His parents informed deputies that Long's Hyundai Tucson was equipped with a tracking device, using surveillance footage of his vehicle at both crime scenes along with the car's tracker. Police were able to retain his location. At around 8:30 p.m., roughly 3.5 hours after the shootings, Long was spotted by police in Crisp County, about 150 miles south of Atlanta. Georgia State Patrol officers followed him on South Interstate 75 until a location just south of Cordell, where they used the PIT removal to stop his vehicle and took him to custody. Long was on his way to Florida when he was apprehended. Long was initially arrested in connection to the Cherokee County shooting. Police later identified him as a suspect in the Piedmont Road shooting as well. Police found a 9mm handgun in his car. The shooter killed 8 people and wounded 1. 6 died at the scene, 1 en route to the hospital, 1 on treatment. The ages range from 33 to 74, with 5 of victims above 50. 6 victims were at Piedmont Road and 2 in Cherokee County, where a woman of Asian descent. The others were white women and a white man. And the survivor is a Hispanic man from Guatemala. The South Korean Foreign Affairs Ministry reported that the 4 dead were of Korean ethnicity, and 1 was a South Korean citizen. The victims at Young's Asian Massage in Cherokee County included the business owner, customer there with her husband for a couple's massage, a handyman finishing a project, an employee, the victims of Gold Spa, including the business owner, the other victims at Atlanta locations, including two spa employees and a manager. The suspect was identified as a 20-year-old Robert Aaron Long, a white man of Woodstock. He graduated from Sinclair High School in 2017. From the fall of 2017 to 2018, Long was enrolled in the Cumming campus of University of North Georgia, but he did not earn a degree. Long was a hunter, and he was heavily involved with the Southern Baptist congregation. Cherokee County Sheriff Frank Riddle said that Long did not have any prior interactions with law enforcement. Long spent time in Hope Quest, an evangelical treatment facility located near Ackworth and down the road from the first spa that he attacked. He was a patient of the treatment center for the what he described as a sex addiction, a label used by some of those who that cannot control their sexual urges as expected by purity culture. He claimed to be tortured by his addiction to sex when he was deeply religious, according to his halfway house roommate. His roommate said that in several times during the stay at the halfway house, Long said he has relapsed and gone to massage parlors to visit sex workers. His parents had kicked him out of the house the night before the shooting due to concerns about his sex addiction, and he said he watched internet pornography several hours a day. A report to police said he was emotional after being evicted from his parents' house. According to the police, Long describes his actions to be the result of sex addiction that convicted his religious beliefs. Long had been a patron of two of massage parlors and saw them as sources of sexual temptation. Police records show that two of the massage parlors had been the site of 10 prostitution arrests, the latest of which took place in 2013. All three targeted spas appear online guide to brothels. Long claims had been initially thought about killing herself because instead decided to target a business to help others dealing with sex addiction. According to Cherokee County Sheriff's Department, Law wanted to eliminate the temptation by targeting spas. Ruth Gam, a national religion correspondent of the New York Times, wrote that Law seemed to have a fixation on sexual temptation, one that can lead to despair among people who believe that they are failing to follow the idea of refraining from sex, and even less outside heterosexual marriage. The American Psychological Association does not have sex addiction as ground in the DSM-5 following its removal in 2012. The World Health Organization includes excessive stress trial as a diagnosis note in the NAS version of the International Classification of Diseases. But it characterizes it as a form of compulsive behavior impulse control disorder rather than an addiction. Psychiatrist Dr. J. Lay and neuroscientist Nurgle Paul noticed significant difference between sex addiction and other types of addiction. According to Lay, rehabilitation treatments focus on the suppression of sexual thoughts, such as the type experienced by Long, and usually counterproductive. Psychotherapist Robert Weiss, who diagnosed people with sexual addiction, expressed doubt in the diagnosis for Long because sex addicts are typically nonviolent. Some noted the ethnicity of six of the victims were Asian women. Amidst an increase in anti-Asian hate crimes in the United States during the COVID-19 pandemic, or characterized the shooting as a hate crime. Long said his actions were not racially motivated. Multiple experts have said that race cannot be ruled out as a motive because of the fetishization of Asian women in the U.S. Lunch on March 17, 2021, Long was charged with 8 counts of murder, split evenly between the shooting in Cherokee County and the shootings in Atlanta, and 1 count of aggravated assault in Cherokee County. According to the latter agency, he confessed to the killings while in custody. His first court appearance for his arraignment was scheduled March 18th but was canceled after he waived his right to appeal. On March 18, President Joe Biden ordered U.S. flags on the White House on federal grounds and in military installations, naval vessels, and U.S. diplomatic missions to be flown half-mast until sunset on March 22 to respect the victims of the shooting. He and Vice President Kamala Harris subsequently met with local Asian American community leaders on March 19 to discuss the shootings. After the meeting, he gave a speech condemning rising hate crimes against Asian Americans during the COVID-19 pandemic and declared his support for the proposed COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act, which he claimed would facilitate tackling anti-Asian hate crimes. South Korean Foreign Minister Chung Yi-yong and National Defense Minister Soo Wook held a joint press conference in Seoul on March 19, which their U.S. counterparts Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. And the South Korean Foreign Ministry released a statement the following day addressing the shooting and the United States government anti-hate crime efforts. On April 14, following the shootings and the overall rise in anti-hate crimes, the U.S. Senate voted 92-6 to advance the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act, which will allow the U.S. Justice Department to review hate crimes related to COVID-19 and establish an online database. On April 27, the Senate voted 94-1 to pass the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act with bipartisan changes. It will head to the U.S. House of Representatives. Sociologist Nancy Yang Young characterized the event as part of a nationwide pattern of Asian women being disproportionately targeted in hate incidents. Stated events took place in the context and intersection of racism and sexism against Asian women. Citing the Page Act of 1875 and the portrayal of Asian women as prostitutes in the media, such as Full Metal Jacket and Miss Saigon, as examples. Georgia House of Representative Menuk Sam Perk urged Asian Americans who are facing discrimination to reach out to police, politicians, and the public. Another member, Bean Nguyen, said the violence against Asian Americans has increased in the last year and identified as a causative factor in Donald Trump's use of the term China virus to refer to COVID-19. Asian American basketball player Jeremy Lin accused Trump's rhetoric of inciting hatred. A number of athletes and public figures also made statements alleging racist motives in the attacks. The attacks were widely covered by media in South Korea, which has cultural ties with the United States, especially though the 8.8 million Korean Americans considered part of the Korean diaspora. The Hankyori Call for an American Society accept the reality of racial hate crimes and take steps to ensure everyone's safety regardless of race. The Kung Hayak Shimon said the United States was defenseless to racist attacks, while Singye Lubo called for effective measures so that hate crimes against humanity do not take roots in the United States. Mainstream American English language media was criticized for its coverage of the shooting compared to American Korean language and South Korean media. Issues brought up, including the former, was focused on the shooter's background, ignored the victims, and immediately dismissed racial motivations after the shooter and law enforcement claimed that it was sexually motivated. While the latter insists the focus on the victims, interviewed commonly figures and people who knew the victims and looked at the previous racist and anti-China statements made by the shooter. The shootings prompted Chinese Canadian Nation Council's Toronto chapter and other groups to issue a statement calling to action against the rising anti-Asian sentiment in Canada during the COVID-19 pandemic and the discrimination and violence faced by Asian workers in mass parlors in the sex industry. On March 23rd, the House of Commons of Canada unanimously passed a motion introduced by the new Democratic Party leader Jinmin Singh, condemning the shootings and the rise in anti-Asian sentiment across North America, as well as calling for the federal government to hold a federal pro bono summit coordinating and funding anti-hate efforts. Advocates for sex workers said the shootings fuels over anti-sex work ideology. Columnist Tracy Kwan commented on the incident for a perspective as an Asian American and a former sex worker. Untangling the suspect's motive isn't easy when race and sex are competing to dominate the narrative. I have experienced bias and ethnic profiling, but I've also been a sex worker, and I have encountered more prejudice, more name-calling, more fear, anger, and hostility in connection with my sex work more than regarding my race. The hate crime debate. The shooting sparked fears of lack of security among owners and employees of Asian-owned businesses across the U.S., a debate over hate crime definitions, criticism of the current methods used to agitate hate crime data in the country. Aggregate hate crime data in the country, excuse me. The New York City Police Department deployed counter-terrorist office to Asian Americans communities as a precaution due to the shootings. Police patrols and community outreach efforts will also increase in Seattle. Long statement that the shootings were not racially motivated, but rather motivated by intent to lash out of sources of intimidation has spurred widespread skepticism, with members of the Congress Asian Pacific American Caucus citing that the nature of the targeted location and the ethnicity of many victims. State Representative Ninjin argued that Long should be charged with a hate crime, noting that racial motivation would not be necessary for his actions to qualify as a hate crime. Since the law also applies to those specifically target women, President Joe Biden condemned the facts as a hate crime and expresses his support for hate crimes legislation recently introduced into Congress. U.S. Representative Martin Strickland, a Korean-American from the Washington state, said from the House floor that racially motivated hate crimes should be called out instead of making excuses or abandoned as an economy, anxiety, or sexual addiction. On March 18, the U.S. House of Representatives held a previously scheduled congressional hearing on anti-Asian American discrimination, where Representative Chip Roy questioned whether the committee's attempts to prevent hate crimes and incite incidents against Asian Americans would hamper free speech. He claimed he seemed to want to venture into policing of rhetoric in a free society. His statement prompted criticism from the Democrats. Andrew Sullivan criticized speculation in the media about Long's motives and the assertion that his actions constitutes a hate crime, saying that the media is rushing to promote ready-made narratives, which actually point away from the empirical facts. Elizabeth Nolan Bowne, writing in Reason, also said that Long's motives were still unclear, despite many in the media attributed to anti-Asian racism. Deborah Epstein, director of Georgetown University Law Center's Domestic Violence Clinic, said in an interview on NPR, this man targeted his victims because they were Asian, and he targeted his victims because they were women. And we have to shed the blinders to limit to see the race, please, but not the gender piece of hate. Several politicians expressed concern on how easy it is for Long to obtain a gun on the day of the shooting, with the Griffiths Law Center saying that he would have completed the required background check within 100 seconds. Georgia State Senator Michelle Wu, it's easier to buy a gun here than it is to vote. Advocates saying the waiting period in Georgia could have prevented spontaneous violence. Satirical news site The Onion republished the way to prevent this, said the only nation where this regularly happens article with minor altercation after the day of the killings. Calls for gun reform were renewed in a shooting in Boulder, Colorado. For 6 days later, Senate Majority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer said the Senate and will move forward on legislation to help stop the epidemic of gun violence. Criticism of police captain's phrasing. During a press conference on the shootings, Captain Jay Baker of the Cherokee County Sheriff's Department paraphrased that what Long told investigators about his motives, saying he was pretty much fed up and the kind of end of his rope. And I guess it was a really bad day for them, and that's what he said. That's what he did. The phrase, really bad day, attracted criticism and led to discovery of Baker's anti-China sentiments on Facebook, thereby calling the integrity of the investigation into question. Critics said that his description alone was sympathetic. Georgia State Senator Michelle Oh said Baker's remarks show that law enforcement handled crimes against particular groups differently. Representative Ted Lau called for the FBI to conduct its own independent investigation, saying that he believed the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office investigation would be unfair because of Baker's press conference remarks and Facebook posts. Vincent Pan, a co-consecutive director of civil rights groups, Chinese for Affirmative Action, said that Baker's involvement undermined Asian American confidence that the investigation would be taken seriously. On March 18, Sheriff Reynolds of the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office released a letter that acknowledged the criticism, expressed regrets over Baker's words, and contextualized the remarks by pointing out the difficult tasks that Baker had and Baker's personal connection to the Asian American community. The letter did not address Baker's Facebook posts. Later that day, Baker was removed from his spokesman role from the investigation, according to WSB-TV. The incident prompted the Cherokee County Sheriff's Department to briefly consider his handling and the role in the case of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. On March 21st, 1,000 participants in the protests in Atlanta, New York City, Washington, D.C., and Montreal denounced an anti-Asian sentiment. That's basically the events that led to the start of the hashtag Stop Asian Hate Movement. Now, whole purpose of this episode is to basically state how I want to talk about how the modern minority sentiment that they have that the United States of America has bestowed on the Asian American community is not only unfair, and it puts pressure. It's unfair, puts pressure on Asian Americans, and it's been weaponized to harm other various groups of color. Give me one moment and take a quick break.
And I said birth control, essentially, even if it's just the pill, almost takes...
Be right back. Give me one second. All right. A model minority is a minority demographic, whether it's based on ethnicity, race, or religion, whose members are perceived to achieve a higher degree of social economic success than the population average, thus serving as a reference group to outgroups. This success is typically measured relatively by educational attainment, representation in managerial and professional occupations, and household income, along with social economic indicators such as low criminality, high family mental stability, and the concept of model minority is primarily associated with the culture of the United States. Though many European countries have concepts of classism that stereotype ethnic groups in a similar manner, the concept is controversial and has historically been used to suggest there is no need for government intervention in social economic disparities between certain racial groups. The argument has most often been applied in America to contrast Asian Americans, particularly East and South Asians, and Jewish Americans against African Hispanic Americans, forcing the idea that Asian and Jewish Americans are good, law-abiding, productive citizens, immigrants, while promoting the stereotype that Hispanics and African Americans are prone to crime and dependent on welfare. The concept of a model minority is associated with U.S. culture as it is excessively used outside of U.S. However, many European countries have concepts of classism that stereotype ethnic groups in a similar manner to the modern minority. Generalized statistics such as higher education attainment rate, higher representation of white-collar professional and managerial occupations, and a higher household income than other racial groups in the United States are all often cited in the support of the model minority. A common misconception of the affected communities typically take pride in being labeled as a model minority. However, the model minority stereotype is considered detrimental to the relevant minority communities as it is used to justify the inclusion of such group in the distribution of public and private assistance programs, as well as is to understate the site achievements of individuals with that minority. Furthermore, the notion of the model minority pits minority groups against one another through the implication that non-model minority groups are at fault for falling short of the model minority level of achievement and assimilation. The concept has been criticized by outlets Furthermore, the notion of model minority pits minority groups against one another due to implication that non-model groups are at fault for falling short of model minority level of achievement and assimilation. The concept has been criticized by outlets such as NPR for potentially homogenizing the experience of Asian Americans on one side and Hispanics and African Americans. On the other, despite its individual groups experience racism in different ways. Critics also argue that the idea perpetuates the belief that any minority has the capability to rise economically without assistance and ignores the differences between the history of Asian Americans and African Americans, as well as Hispanics in the United States. This is interesting. You know what I'm going to do, guys? I'm going to end this episode, and I'm going to put out a part two version of this, and I'm going to place it next week because it's a lot of information and I want to make sure that we all go through it. I'm going to bookmark it. Thank you very much for listening to my podcast. Again, follow me on my Instagram, BlackCog8840. You in my podcast is registered on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, Stitcher. You also can find me on Good Pods. And if you want to listen to my podcast for free, you can go to NewYorkCityPodcast.com. And if you want to leave a donation, you can go to this my Anchor account. and you can either leave a 99 cent donation, a $5.99 donation, or a $9.99 donation. I want you to thank you very much, and I want you to enjoy your day. Be blessed.